With God's help, I desire to read from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 2. I'd like to begin with verse number 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." I've read to the conclusion of the chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before him in prayer. The main theme of the reading that we've looked at together is of Jesus Christ and him coming near to us. And this theme should be something that is upon our hearts each and every time we open the Word together, to draw near to Jesus Christ, for a closer walk with him, and that God would reveal to us something in his word that would show us how to draw near to him. But in this chapter, over and over, we read how the Lord has come near to us. We began with a quote from the Old Testament. A certain place, it was written, a question. And from Psalm 8, where this is taken, the psalmist considers the work of God's hands and the stars and the majestic creation that the Lord has made. And in the midst of this glory and beauty, this man has been placed. And a question comes to his mind. What is man that thou art mindful of him? How many people there are, and how small each individual one is in this vast universe that God has created, where things are happening and man seems like it is a very insignificant part in terms of size or impact. But God views man and has placed him in a place of special care and love and responsibility. He had placed the first Adam in paradise, and he had lost that. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, lived that perfect life and did overcome everything and was victorious. And will one day return and open the graves and will even overcome death for those who believe upon him. And Jesus Christ is that gift of God, that precious gift of God that expresses the greatness of God's love that he places upon man. That is a special gift. And as we would consider ourselves in creation, in all of history, and all that God can do and has done, what do we see when we consider the love that he has shown to me, to you? He continues in this pondering and considering, who is he that God would display his life love toward him? In the midst of the realization of God's goodness and mercy, what does he see? What do believers see? We see Jesus. Do you see Jesus? Do I see Jesus as the expression and precious gift of God toward me to save, to cleanse, and to sanctify for his purpose? There are many things to see in this world, many marvelous things, beautiful, powerful, impressive. There are many depressing things. There are many painful things. But the eyes of faith of believers, despite the pain, despite the hardship, they see Jesus more than anything. And this is something that can be a challenge throughout all history of man. To put things that are less important in front of or in place of Jesus. To see him with clear eyes of faith. To see him in his teaching and in his sacrificial love, and to follow him. If we see him clearly, he can easily be our captain of salvation, as it says here, the one that we follow. So we are to see Jesus. Those of you who do not see Jesus as a personal Savior, as the one who embodies the love of God towards you, and a care and concern for your eternal soul, I would like to encourage you, and the Word encourages you. If you do not see Jesus, then seek him. Seek him as the wise men who came from the East were seeking. Seek him as the shepherds who were told to find him were seeking. The wise men. They followed the star. They asked the questions. They received the instruction from the prophets, from the Word. And they came to give their very best, to give their all. The Lord desires that those who seek after him would give him their whole heart. And perhaps you may feel that there is something that God has blessed you with. The wise men had gold and frankincense, gifts of great value. They yielded them in worship to the Lord. Perhaps your heart has things that are bitter. Bitter sin, need of cleansing. Bring that to him as well. He will satisfy the need. The wise men brought those gifts to satisfy the, as a figure of the roles that Christ would play. But when it comes down to it, when we seek him, he is looking for what is in our hearts. The shepherds, they were told that there would be a sign, that they would find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they would know that they had found the one whom they had been sent to seek out. As you would seek the Lord, you and I have been given the Word of God. When we find the Lord as described by the Word of God, we know that we have found him and we have that assurance. And we can go sharing with others who we have found and go with joy just like those shepherds did. We see that Jesus, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was made a little lower than angels, and it mentions here also that he took on him not the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. This is speaking of the Son of God taking upon himself flesh. And in that humble arrival, the angels glorified God for what was being done. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It became him. It was becoming to him, who would become the one who would bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He's the one who's described here as the one for whom are all things and by whom are all things. The one who had created and for whom all things were created. What could you add to the experience of the Son of God? and he became perfect through sufferings. There is something about experience that can teach and impact in a way that knowledge and education cannot. And the Lord showed us in how he humbly came and how it says here, he suffered and died, how near he came. He came to be among fallen man. He came to walk our streets and not just to observe and teach, but to share and to fellowship in the hardest experiences of life. We know that at the time of the crucifixion, Jesus suffered greatly for us. And his trial was so unjust. Yet throughout his life, he was also ridiculed and suffered. And even before he was born, it seems that the world had no place for him. There were some that rejected Christ outright, and they spoke evil and terrible things about him. But before he was born, the innkeeper, his home was full, and he had no room. And so Mary and Joseph had to go to the stable to lay Christ in a manger. He had to go out to a place that was dirty. No place for a king to be born. But I wonder, is that somehow how people respond to Christ today? Not that their inns are full and they have no room for Mary and Joseph, but that their hearts are already full of activities, of material possessions, of worries, of other interests. And they send Jesus away. Not because they reject him. Some even may come to the house of the Lord to worship, but have not yet made room. And we read in the scripture that later on the wise men came, and it says that they came into a house in Bethlehem. So at some point, some room was made. And maybe as you consider your heart, you see that through this past year, you have not made the room. But Jesus is waiting. And he is willing to stand outside and knock patiently at your heart's door. But make for him the room in your heart and in your life. And do as those wise men did. Worship and bring him your all. He has done and come to be with us in our suffering, in our times of loneliness, and he will not forsake or disappoint those who place their faith in him. He will reveal himself to us, and we will see him, and we will know him as the captain of our salvation when we place our faith in him, Son of God. The writer of Hebrews goes on to speak of the special relationship between those that are sanctified and the one that sanctifies. between Christ and his brethren. It says, because they have this relationship of one that sanctifies and one who and the other who is being sanctified, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. This is a very special title. I know that all brothers and sisters in the Lord can remember how special it was to join the brotherhood, to be introduced, and to take our place with the brethren. We can imagine as Jesus called Matthew, a publican, one who was despised, and ate with him and spent time with his friends. And as he was working with Matthew and sanctifying him and preparing him to be an apostle, Jesus received ridicule for spending time with him. But he would not have it. He was not ashamed. He was not ashamed to be with them. He, in his mission, was the one, it was one to bring many sons unto glory. He did not come to call the righteous, the ones that felt as if they were glorified already or were glorified in the eyes of men, but sinners to repentance. To repentance, and then a life of sanctification. Jesus will reveal the praise of the Lord. And he is not ashamed to call us brethren who are in his family by faith. And as we think of Jesus' birth and the family that he was born into, he did not have an easy time with this family. His brothers and sisters rejected him while he was preaching and teaching in his earthly ministry. We don't read anything about his dad after they went to the temple when he was 12 years old. But he did not come for the comforts of an earthly family. He came to give you and me a place in his family, the family of God, the family of the redeemed, the family who are cleansed of their sins and no longer need to feel its shame and guilt. And we think to ourselves, who am I? Who am I that he would come and bleed and die for? That he would pray, not my will, but thine for. We read that just as much as the children, or we, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The deliverance of Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of sin, in the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide and to keep us in the path of truth. This deliverance is powerful and so meaningful. And yet, it is a portion of the deliverance that God has planned for them that love him. We, brothers and sisters, are so thankful for what the Lord has done, that he came to be near to us in our suffering and even our temptations. And yet, it is only the beginning. Because he says here, there is a bondage that we're subject to all of our lifetime, this flesh. But there will be a deliverance. And God will unfold his plan for the ages. When Christ returns, the graves open, those that are dead in Christ will rise, and they will live forever with the Lord. And they that remain will be caught up to be with them forever. We look at the creation that God has made and wonder at its splendor and wonder at God's love for us who seem so small in the scheme of things. And yet that love that we experience and that we reflect upon as the testimony of God's faithfulness, it's only part. There is much more to come in the deliverance of eternal life and glory with God. But my friend, I have some bad news, that outside of Jesus Christ, the experiences that you have here, the things that you enjoy and look forward to, that is the peak and the summit of existence without Jesus Christ. This year has been difficult, but this world is as good as it gets without Jesus Christ. You don't have anything to look forward to after this life. That is why it is so vitally important to seek the Lord while he may be found. He has given so much for you and for me. He is worthy for us to drop everything, to make room within the heart, to believe, to open his word, and to find that which our souls crave and need. So we who are in the faith, we who believe upon Jesus Christ, have much to look forward to. And we also have precious promises while we tarry here, while we're walking these earthly roads. He became like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The blessed forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. And how precious it is that we also can go to Christ as one who intercedes for us, as a high priest. And he is described here as merciful and faithful. Faithful to his word, and one who is abounding in mercy when we come to him. It is so good to have one who is more experienced in the faith to go to, that we can confide in, trust, and rely on for their advice and help. And how often those who are called into ministry fail and fall so short. But our high priest is Christ, and he is merciful. He is merciful to sinners who come to him in faith. He is willing. He does not have a full in, as it were, to send you out if you come asking for a place. And he is faithful. He is reliable. Oh, how many things we've seen. Perhaps our trust was, well, most certainly our trust has been misplaced. If we are depressed at the things in this world. But in great contrast, Christ is faithful. He is reliable. He is never changing. And he is that high priest for us. And also, he is in those quiet moments of temptation, trial, and struggle. He himself suffered. He himself felt the pain and grief that we bear. He was, the scripture says, acquainted with it. He knew it well. And so when we come to him, when we are tempted, we will find in him our all in all. We will find in him one who will be near to us when no one is around to help us. It is all because he came down to us. He humbled himself and showed us this perfect love. A love that is greater than the largest mountain that you can see. More vast than the sky and the stars and the universe and everything that we can cast our eyes upon to wonder. May we look to Christ and the Word, see him in glory in what he has done for us in coming down to be our Savior. May God bless his Word. Amen.
As we're reminded tonight of the birth again of our Lord and Savior. And as we read in the ninth verse, or the tenth verse, where he says, "For it became him for whom all who are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering." And this was the reason that we have, and this is the reason that he came. The Apostle John writes also, the other Gospels, Matthew and Luke write about his birth. Mark didn't write about it, and neither did John. But John says this. It says that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So this is the faith, this is the truth, this is what we have heard again tonight, that he was the one that has brought us our soul salvation, and that as we read here, that he would bring many and many sons unto the glory of God. And this is the reason that he came, as John writes. May God bless these words upon our hearts, and let us be faithful unto him until he comes and returns and takes us all home. Amen.